Right. Are we sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. I know. For me, and I don't suggest that you do this, but for me, when I first became a Christian, I felt the Lord saying to me that he will bring back to remembrance the things that I need to remember when I need to remember it. So I don't tend to keep a journal, I don't write things down. I've only ever written one thing down in the ministry over the years that I've been a Christian, and that's a poem that the Lord, actually I believe he took my fingers, my hand, and he wrote it out with me. And I was reminded of something today. This is not to embarrass anybody, but some 19 years ago or so, when the Lord was transitioning Susan and I into what we now know to be Grace Community Church, I may have this slightly wrong. I will check it out with Susan. But I believe there was a lady, Alison Hill. She believed she had a prophetic word for us as a church. She didn't share it with me. She didn't share it with those that were named in it. But she did share it with Susan, I believe. And she said something like this. Within the church, a fellowship that we was part of, there was going to be a big move. There was going to be a move that God was going to orchestrate, and he was going to take Susan and I, and he was going to plant us somewhere else, and there was other things going to happen. And this word was something like this. Karen was involved, and Nigel was involved. And it was, until Nigel and Emma move, there will not be a move. Now, I don't say that to embarrass you, but until Nigel and Emma move, there will not be a move. And then through that, Bernie, Nigel, and Julian, they prayed with me, and I was at that position in my life where I'm going, I can't do this. And the unanimous thing was, well, we believe you're called. Well, who am I to argue with God? And those people that I've mentioned, along with Jill and Susan and myself, are still in church today. So God has a plan for us. And as we serve his plans and purposes, he will reveal what he has for us. And for me, yesterday I was I had a piece of information that I didn't know, and that was talking about how much we receive when we hear things, and there was a percentage about what we receive when we hear it, when we read it, and the biggest percentage was we retain most when we teach others. So whenever I have an opportunity to bring something to you, the percentage of me receiving was 80-something percent. So I like to eat my own food, so I am blessed. And I want to share something with us today, and it's about, I'm not going to sing, trust and obey. See, thank God for small mercies. But I do want to just ask some questions, because as I look through God's word, as he speaks, I believe, through his word, so often I can just move on so fast, because I know what he's saying, but you don't always know what I'm thinking. So I want to try and slow things down. If I can, if it's possible. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Now, when we talk about blessed, we understand what that means, don't we? We understand what it means to be blessed. You know, holy, favored, anointed, encouraged. That there's a favor of the Lord upon us. We've been blessed. So whenever you see this word blessed, it doesn't mean what some people say, to be less. It means to be full of what God has for us. We are blessed. And it says this in Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. When we talk about trust, you know, you must have had people in your life that says, do you trust me? And you've said yes, and they've let you down. Do you trust me? And you've said yes, and they've let you down again. And so often, if we're not careful, we can take this word trust, and we don't trust in the people that are speaking to us. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Do you trust God? Then you're blessed. You see, it's not rocket science, is it? Whose confidence is in him. Now, your confidence isn't in anything else. There are things that we put our confidence in, the fact that this floor will hold my weight, the chair will hold our weight, the car will get us where we need to go. Yes, there's a confidence, but we're talking about spiritually as God's people. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. If we don't read the fullness of what God says, we can miss out. So we're blessed because we trust in the Lord. Our confidence is in him. And it says when we do that, it's like being planted by a stream. Now, you know what happens when you plant a tree by a stream? The roots go down and it soaks up the clean, fresh water. And it doesn't matter if there's a drought, if there's a heat wave, it doesn't matter. That tree will bear fruit. It's what is being said here. And that's you and me. If we are blessed because we trust in the Lord and we put our confidence in him, we will be like a tree that's planted. A tree that's planted. Now, in my garden years ago, I planted two trees at the same time. And one tree, it was a small whip of a tree, and I just planted it in the ground, healed it in, and left it to grow. The other tree, it was a bit taller, but it was still a bit spindly, so I staked it to help it so it wouldn't get blown over in the wind. And as those two trees grew up, the one that I propped up, the one that I put a stake in, it grew deformed. Because every time the wind blew, the roots weren't sufficient for it, and it kept moving position. The one that I just planted in the ground, it grew up and it grew straight, and it was a strong tree. Now, what I'm saying is this, that if we put our trust in God, we are like trees that are planted by a stream. It means the roots will go down deep, and it will hold up whatever is on the top. So God will show you his plan and purpose. When we look at what God is doing in us, so often we can't see. What are you doing, Lord? Where am I going, Lord? Is it just me? You said you had a plan and a purpose for me. What is it? You can't see it. But it's like the roots that are underneath the tree. You can't see them. But if those roots are going into good soil and they're soaking up good water, that this is saying here through Jeremiah, that's what he's speaking to God's people, to you and to I, in today's day and age. We might not be able to see it, but we need to trust that God is doing the work. And that's what I want to share with us today. Do you trust God? It has no worries in the year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. You know, as children of God, we will bear fruit. How do I know that? Because God tells me. Because you are blessed. Why? Because you trust him. Your confidence is in him. But let's go a little further and just bring a perspective here in Jeremiah 5, just going up from that, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Now, does that mean you shouldn't trust your fellow man? No, it's not talking about this. It's talking about worldly things. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. So it's not about not trusting in man. It's when their hearts are drawn away from God because of man. You know, you may have a situation where you know that the Lord has called you to be part of a church community, yet someone that you hold in great esteem pulls you away. Well, you're listening to flesh and not to God. Did God say, if he said, then be obedient, trust and obey. Whose heart turns away from the Lord. So it's not about trusting in other people. It's about allowing other people, mere flesh, to steal what God has planted in our heart. To steal what God has planted in their hearts. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands, just a shrub. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places, in the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. So it's a stark contrast to what God says about us when we have our confidence in him. But if we don't know the bad news, we won't fully embrace the good news, will we? See, if we understand the good news, then we know that the bad news is not for us. So I want to encourage us today to put our trust in the Lord afresh, just by using one or two scriptures and see where God takes us. It's in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, we can pause there a bit and we can go, with all your heart. God talks about our hearts so often in scripture. It says, do not be half-hearted. Do not give half of yourself to me. Be fully engaged. When God said to the leaders, go and spy out the land, it talks about Caleb and Joshua. They said they were fully trusting me. They were fully engaged. They weren't half-hearted. They were whole-hearted.
It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And not my way, it's his way. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So you imagine when we look at this portion of scripture here, you can have a road that is twisty and bendy, and you can't see what's around the corner. But this is saying here in Proverbs, in this portion of wisdom, it says, you know, when we trust in the Lord, he makes the road straight so that we can see ahead, that we can see where we are going. We can see where the pitfalls are. We can see where the enemy is hiding. We can see why, because we put our trust in God and we give him all of our heart. We don't lean on our own understanding, but we submit to him. And he makes our path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Do not think that you can do it just on your own. You know, one of the things that I had to learn very quickly as a Christian was I couldn't rely on my own ability. And I don't say this to put myself down, but in my own ability, I couldn't stand here and speak to you, because at that point, I'd never read a book from cover to cover. I'd never spoken publicly that I can remember until God called me into the kingdom. In my own strength, I couldn't do this. I had to submit to him so he could make my path straight. I didn't have wisdom of my own, but there was a wisdom within me that I never knew I had, because it was the roots that were underneath me that I couldn't see. It wasn't until I started to walk on this straight street that God revealed his wisdom to me that I already had in me. I don't know if that makes sense, but there are things that God shows you that you didn't realize that you knew, that you was capable of doing. But God will bless those that are wholehearted, that submit to him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil. So as we fear the Lord, we shun evil. We put evil to one side. Why? Because we fear the fact that he's not present with us. We're not afraid of him. We're afraid of him not walking with us. Lord, unless you go, I don't want to go. Unless you lead me, I don't want to follow. That's the fear of the Lord. This will bring health to your body. You see, whenever God gives us an instruction, there is a positive there. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, we need that, don't we? We're living in an age where we know that this world is decaying, and so often we can start to decay with it. Now, we know that when we're born to die, and then we're raised up again to live eternally. We understand the body. We know that the body gets old and it wears out. But as we shun evil, as we fear the Lord, as we gain knowledge and understanding, as we submit to him, as it's saying here in this portion of wisdom, it brings health to our body, nourishment to our bones. Then it goes on in verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Lord, all I have is yours. Your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will bring over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. I did say I was going to slow down, didn't I? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she, this is wisdom, is more profitable than silver. It yields better returns than gold. She, this is wisdom, is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her, to wisdom. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. You see, nothing's wasted. When you look at that first portion of scripture, you know, to trust the Lord, to be planted by that river. It's saying here in Proverbs that when we gain wisdom, it's like a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And those who hold fast will be blessed. When we look at God's word from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation, God always speaks to us. He never lies to us. He always gives us the answer to whatever question it is in our hearts. But we need to turn to him. We need to ask him to allow those twists and turns to be straightened out. You know, the Bible says, and I've said it recently, he takes the high and makes them low. He takes the low and makes them high. And it means that everything is level. Not only is it level, he takes the twists and turns out of our life and he makes it straight. But we have an obligation. Fear the Lord, shun evil. We need to accept that we are blessed. We need to trust in the Lord. Trust and obey. You know, do you trust him? It's not about trust in me. This is a safe environment. This is a place where the enemy is not welcome. This is a place where multitudes of people that are here will help defend one another if we needed to, that we will stand in the gap if we need to, that God intercedes, Christ intercedes for you as he intercedes for others. This is a safe place. However, when we fear the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If God says it, he's going to do it. He's going to remind you of some of the things he said, as he's reminded me. He could have said, Andrew, do you trust me? I go, yeah, of course I do. Well, obey me then. Yeah, but you don't understand that I don't have enough money to do that. You don't understand that I'm not wise enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not eloquent enough, I can't see too far down the road, I can't do this and I can't do that. He didn't ask me all those things, did he? He said, do you trust me? Then obey. If you trust me, then obey. And that's what I want to give to us today. I want to ask you that question. Do you trust him? And if you do, then obey what he calls you to do. In Matthew 6:25, it says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. This is in perspective if we just listen to what Jesus is saying here. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and they do not reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? They're God's creatures, but are you not more valuable than they? The answer is yes, you are more valuable. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The answer is no. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow and they do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass and the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. In other words, they put their trust in man. But your heavenly Father, he's saying, put your trust in me, knows that you need them. God knows what we need. And it's difficult not to worry, isn't it? It's all right reading this portion of scripture out and saying, do not worry, but there's times we do. We're human beings. There's times we do. That's why we need a Savior, because we're sinners. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need the Lord to lean on. We lean upon him because his burden is light and his yoke is easy. We want him to lead us, him to guide us. So it's all right for me to say, don't worry, but I don't know your circumstance. Maybe you are worrying about something, but I want to encourage you to go on a bit further and read what it says from 33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. The kingdom, that means the king. Seek the king, Jesus, and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. As well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It doesn't say this, but it could say at the end of this. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do you not trust me? Do you not trust me that I will feed you? You know, I can testify. This might go on a bit longer if I do, but I can testify over the years. Now, so often we can only use the experiences that we have. And I use Nigel and Emma quite often as an illustration, because there's times where we sat with a loaf of bread and a jar of jam. God fed us. It was a loaf of bread and a jar of jam, or maybe even a slice of cheese if we had a good week. But you know what? God fed us. He gave us fellowship. And I can look back at those times and say, I am grateful for what God did for me then. Because I'm in a position now where I can buy someone else a loaf of bread and I can help feed them. Why? Because God blessed me. But as we seek first the kingdom, as we say, Lord, help us. Lord, provide for us. Lord, your promises is you'll never leave me or forsake me. I'm holding you to that promise. Lord, I trust your word. And as we do that, then the kingdom comes and his will is done in our life. But we need to be those that will seek his kingdom. So maybe today, as I ask that question, do you trust him? You can say, yes, I do. And then you can have that conversation with God. Lord, I trust you. Forgive me, enable me, encourage me. In Psalm, you know, this is a song. When the psalmist writes something, there's a melody, there's a song. May we shout for joy over your victory. Lift up our banners. And when we look at the banner through the gospel, it's an identity. You know, when you have a pirate ship, they have the skull and crossbones. Well, it's their identity. When we have our banner, the cross of Christ, it's our identity. When the Israelites lifted up a banner, it was to say, this is who we are, and this is who we represent, and our God goes before us. So banners are important. It says there, lift up our banner in the name of our God. There's the difference. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. Now we need to encourage one another with that. When someone says, will you pray with me about this? You need to not repeat these words, but in prayer and supplication, say in your heart, this I know, that the Lord gives victory to his anointed. You are his anointed. So am I. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, in other words, flesh. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, we need to be able to say that. Lift our banner up high. And we need to be able to say, you know, trial and tribulation, it may be all around me. But I am an overcomer. Why? Because the Bible says, I'm going to put my trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm going to put my trust in him. 19 years ago, I could have ran. But I said to myself in my heart, I will trust him. Lord, you need to do the work. Now, it's easy when you can't do it in the natural. Because you have to rely on God. When you can do things in the natural, your tendency is not to rely on God. There are things that you are gifted with that you don't need to ask God's help for because you're gifted. Ask his help because he will give you that extra. He will give you that extra. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And we're coming into a season where as we lean upon him, as we truly trust in what he's already said, then we will see his victory come to pass. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. When I am afraid. What's it? Let's just read a little bit up. In verse 1 of Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. Now you imagine, you know, the enemies are there. You can see them. And you can see them because the road is straight. They can't hide. But you can see them. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. Verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. So often in life, we do not have that sense of fear. We don't need to trust God. Because we can do it ourselves. We've got other people to help us. But when we put our trust in him, he brings about the victory. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. Just pause there a moment. There's a declaration there. If I was being chased by an enemy, I would be afraid. Would you? Help. But there's a declaration here saying, listen, when I'm afraid, so when I am afraid, I'm in fear, I put my trust in you, Lord. Father God, help me. I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. And this is where our song of Solomon comes along in the sense that we can sing to our creator, our companion. This is where the song of the psalmist comes up. Trust and obey. There's no other way than to trust and obey. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. It's a contradiction. I'm afraid, I'm not afraid. You know, you're saying to yourself here, and the psalmist is saying, listen, when I feel afraid, I'm not going to act on my feelings, I'm going to stand on faith. I'm going to stand on the fact that I know my God and that I am blessed. that I am like a tree that's planted. And if I'm like a tree that's planted, I don't need to fear the drought. I don't need to fear the enemy coming, because my roots go down deep. My trust is in you. I'm going to lift up your name. I'm going to praise you, Lord. As we seek first the kingdom, everything else is given us. Jesus said that himself. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? You know what? That's a powerful scripture. And that always reminds me, and I've probably told you this before, but just in case there's one person that hasn't heard it, this is a testimony of how powerful scripture is. There was a man, Emma will testify, his name was Harry. He lived to nearly 100. He was 100. He was round about his 70s at this point. And he was a God-fearing man, him and his wife. They were God-fearing people. They attended church. They gave of themselves. They gave of their finances. They opened their house up to hospitality. But he was listening to Radio Norfolk. And I'm not saying Radio Norfolk is evil, if anyone listens. I'm just saying he was listening to Radio Norfolk. And there was someone speaking on there saying there was a flu-like symptom going around. It wasn't flu, but it was deadly. It had all the symptoms of flu. And this is the symptoms. You will have headaches, you will have nausea, you will do this and you will do that. And he's sitting there and he's confessing all of these things. I've got that. I've got that. That's me. And within a day, he said to his wife, I am going to die. This is a true story. I am going to die. He got himself dressed in his pajamas. He got in bed and there he stayed for weeks on end. People from church went, and I'm not saying that I'm a super spiritual person. I'm talking about God's word here. Many people went, good friends of mine, my pastor, elders, went, prayed with him, and he was dying. I went to see him, and I'm kind of an emotional wreck at times. And as I walked into his bedroom, just before I got there, Dorothy said, Andrew, he believes he's dying. I walked into his bedroom. I sat down on the chair beside him in bed, and I grabbed his hand, and I said, how are you, Harry? He said, Andrew, will you look after Dorothy when I go? And I said, of course I will. And I started to cry. I started to see this man's pain. And he said to me, you believe me, don't you? I said, Harry, I believe that you're going to die. And he said, thank you. Because no one else believed him. To him, it was real. But the enemy was attacking. And I'm saying, Lord, help. In my mind, Lord, help. And I just picked up a Bible and I just opened up a portion of scripture at random. And I read this. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, and in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, as God is my witness, he shouted at the top of his voice, Dorothy, get me a pen. He got a pen, he wrote the scripture down, he got out of bed and he lived till he was 100. That's how powerful God's word is. But we need to understand that there is an enemy. There is a devil that will prowl around and say, you can't trust God, he's let you down. He hasn't let you down. Your circumstances, your situations may have done. You may have looked at man. You may have prayed, say, Lord, would you provide for this situation? It never came about. And you blame God. Well, it wasn't God who did these things. It was the flesh. It was man. It was other people let us down. It was a circumstance, a job we didn't get. It was a financial transaction that didn't work out. We don't need to blame God. We need to be like Job. If God gives good, he gives bad as well, in the sense of bad things happen to good people. But we need to trust in God, even in that situation. At that situation, he didn't have the capacity to pray himself. But when someone prayed this word, he put his trust, not in me, but in God's word. That's the difference. What can mere mortals do to me? So I'm saying, whether you are ailing in your body, ailing in your bank balance, ailing in your relationships, whether you don't know if you need to turn to the right or to the left, just simply stop. Realize that you are a tree that's planted by the river, that you may not see the roots, but they go down deep. They go into the spirit, into the heart of God. And as you pray, you suck up that nutrition and God continues to work in you and through you. So I want to encourage us today just to trust and obey. Now, I know that rhymed and it wasn't meant to. In Mark 4:40, it says, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He could have said, and he didn't, Do you not trust me? See, God gave a word to his disciples. He's been ministering and they all got in a boat. If you look at this portion of scripture, it's well worth reading and I have time. It says this, that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, over the other side of the lake, leaving the crowd behind. There was a mass of people that Jesus had been ministering to. He'd been in the boat, just speaking, and his words were echoing out. People were being saved, they were being delivered, they were being set free, because that's what God's word does. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. They'd witnessed this. They've been witnesses to the miraculous work of Christ. He did it then, he can do it now. There were also other boats on the river with him. And I love this portion of scripture because it reminds me that when God blesses me, other people get blessed. When God blesses you, other people get blessed. Do you know that when God blesses you, your family get blessed? Your children get blessed? Your parents get blessed? Your grandparents get blessed? Your friends, your neighbors? Your enemies get blessed when God blesses you. How do I know that? Because when God blesses me, I have a heart to forgive. I have a heart to let go of the offense. You see, offense is taken, not given. And I refuse to take it. So when God blesses me, other people that offend me get blessed. And so all this is going on and there's other boats around. Then a furious squall came up and we can read into that whatever. You know, the storm of life comes. Have you said to someone, I'm going through a storm at the moment. I'm going through a trial and a tribulation. And yes, I know it produces character, and character produces hope, and hope won't disappoint. I know all of that, but I'm still fearful. I'm still fearful, and God says, fear not, for I am with you. Just obey. And as we obey, it means we're putting our faith in what his word says. So it's not about blind faith, it's about faith that's alive. So when we trust him, we're saying, Lord, I'm trusting in your word. A furious squall came up, and waves broke over the boat. They were nearly swamped. They were nearly drowned. They nearly lost their lives. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. His disciples woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, said, Be quiet. And then he goes on to say, Where's your faith? You see, when Jesus is in your boat, you don't need to worry about the storm. But it's a difficult one, isn't it? Just put yourself in that situation. We could criticize those disciples and go, you have little faith. What would you do? You're in the boat. The one that can save you is asleep. Instead of thinking, hang on a minute. Heavenly Father won't kill his son because he has a plan and a purpose. Now, they've not read the New Testament. So if he's safe, then we're safe. They won't think like that. But these were men that had been around Jesus. These were men that seen the impossible. Now they could at that time go, Lord, your word is true. Father God, save us. But they didn't. They become fearful. They started to worry. And they came to Jesus himself and said, don't you care? And so often when we go through tough times, and maybe this isn't you, it may be someone else who's listening. It may even be me. Where we go through tough times and we say, God, don't you care? Don't you care that my boat is sinking? Don't you care that my marriage is struggling? Don't you care that my bank balance is empty? Don't you care that my body is crumbling? God, don't you care? Do you see what we're doing? We're putting our trust in man and not in God. We're blaming God for something that he didn't do because his word says that all things are possible, only believe. Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know, for me, 19 years on in ministry in grace has been a privilege. But there are times where I've needed to really trust God. Did you say that? What happened in the garden? The enemy comes along and say, did God really say, don't eat from the tree? And the enemy will say it to you. Did God really say that you need to be in fellowship with one another? Did God really say that you need to part with some of your hard-earned cash and sow it into the church? Did God really say you need to forgive that person even though you can prove that they maligned your character? Did God really say? Well, if we're going to trust God's word, we'll know the answer to be yes, God did say. God did say. He says, be quiet, be still. And the wind died down. As we pray, You know, as we worship, as we come into a... Say next week you come to church and you have a burden. I can guarantee you this. If you will praise his name, your burden will shrink. How do I know that? Because his word is true. As you lift up your voice, as you praise him, you start to become thankful. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you've provided this. Lord, I thank you that you've done this. Lord, you are a gracious God. Lord, you are a merciful God. Lord, I thank you that you saved me from the pit of hell and you put me on straight street. Lord, I thank you that I'm like a tree planted by the waters. Why? Because we take our focus off of us. We take, as Peter was in the boat and Jesus walking towards him, there's a ghost. He become fearful. Jesus says, it's I. If it's you, Lord, call me and I'll come. And he says, come. And he stepped out of the water and he started to walk on water. And that's a miracle, isn't it? As he started to look down at his feet, he started to look at the wind and the waves. He took his eyes off of God, put his eyes upon himself, and he started to sink. Now, there's a message in itself, isn't it? Trust me, God says. Keep your eyes fixed on me. I'm the author, the perfecter, the finisher of your faith. See, God wants to bless us, and I just want to encourage us by not singing and just repeating, trust and obey. Two scriptures, and then we can bring this to a conclusion. But let's hope God speaks to us afresh. In Isaiah 26:3, it says this, you will keep in perfect peace. Who? This is God. Father, you will. You will. It's okay to remind God of his word. Lord, you said you'll keep me in perfect peace. Whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. You see, Harry put his trust in man. But once he took his eyes off of man, eyes off the wave and the storm of life and put his eyes back on God, he could say, I trust you. I trust your word. He didn't put his trust in me. He didn't say, Andrew, what a revelation. What a godly man. What a spirit-filled encounter we had. He didn't say that. He just said, Dorothy, get me a pen. Because God has spoken. Because they trust in you. Those minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. You know what? Do you know why some things fail? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Because they're not built upon the rock. They're not built upon a solid foundation. There are things in my life, there are things in our ministry that have failed because they've not been built upon the rock. Because it's like building on a tabletop. Do you know what? You can build on the tabletop, but there'll come a time where that table will collapse. We need to build on a foundation. And when we put our trust in God, what we're saying is, Lord, you are our foundation. You are our rock on which I build upon. Lord, I will not be shaken. You are a strong tower and I will run in you. I will hide in you. I will be safe in you. I put my trust in you. I'm blessed because my roots go down deep. So whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you to trust God and to obey his word. Let me finish with Psalm 37. Psalm of verse 1. Do not fret. Now we understand what this is translated. Do not worry. Do not be concerned. Do not have unbelief. Put in whatever you want. Do not fret because of those who are evil. So often there are people around us. And I used to get really ticked off with God about this because I'm going, they're blessed. You know, they're evil. And they were evil. They were doing things that were ungodly. And yet they're blessed. They seem to be healthy. They seem to have the bigger, the better car, house, home. Everything in life seemed to be good. And I started to resent. What's the point, Lord, of trusting you when these people put their trust in someone else and yet they're blessed? Well, God always gives us an answer. Do not fret because of those who are evil. Or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Now, we shouldn't rejoice in that, but it's good to know. It's good to know that there is a day of reckoning. Do you know what? There's a day, if they don't repent, that they will be judged. Because the living and the dead will be judged. The good and the bad and the ugly will be judged. And that means God is a just God. He's a just God. So we need to not bring our wrath, not bring our condemnation. We need to leave room for God and trust that he will do the work. So when we see people, bad people, prosper, we need to trust God. Lord, you'll deal with these. We don't need to get envious, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Why do we do good? Because it's good to do. That's something that Ken said to me many years ago. Andrew, we do good because it's good to do. It's good to do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. God's arms are a safe place. Emma said about imagine a heavenly father. Do you know what? I'm not a very touchy-feely person, but I can say this with all honesty. I will protect my children. If an enemy comes to attack my children, I will be there to hold them and defend them. Why? Because I'm a loving father who trusts in God, the heavenly father. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord. We should rejoice. We should rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, the psalmist said. Rejoice. And he will give you the desires of your heart. There are many things that we pray for, isn't there? Lord, I pray for this. If we pray with the right motive, there will be a day where that will come to pass. But we need to trust him. We need to obey him. We need to forgive others. We need to move into the areas God wants us to move into. Commit your ways to the Lord. So often we fail because we build on a false foundation. We're building on the tabletop. Yeah, I know you can, Lord, but. Well, there is no buts. God can do all things. We either trust his word or we don't. Put yourself in the position, whatever it is, and I know that I can do the same. Yeah, I know that you've said this. I know that your word says this, Lord, but because I don't feel it. Well, it's not about what we feel, is it? It's about what he says. Commit your ways to the Lord. Lord, help me. Direct me. Guide me. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry their wicked schemes, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. But those whose hope is in the Lord will inherit the land. And it's a land where we are planted. Even in desert times in our life, we are planted by the streams of life. Trust him. Obey him. Let him encourage you today. Let him be that merciful father. Let him be that brother. Let him be that person that you need him to be today. Trust him. Has God said it? Well, he will do it. Do you feel it? Doesn't matter. Trust him. Don't allow the radio to influence you. Don't allow flesh to influence you. Don't allow friends to influence you. It's okay. You don't need to worry about that. Look at God's word and trust him. You know, I had to trust God for an area of my health that I'll share another day. I had to trust God for my marriage. Susan won't mind me saying this because, you know, we say this to each other. If we hadn't become Christians, we'd both be divorced or dead or both. True. We had to trust God. Now, I had the bonus that Susan trusted God for me and I trusted God for her. If you're in a situation where only one person trusts, then we have choice. So let me finish by praying. Father, may we trust you afresh. May we trust what you say and obey what you ask us to do. May we know that we're living in the day of favor. We're living in the day of plenty. We're living in the day of your grace. We're living in the Jubilee where you bring back all, Father God, that's been taken. Lord, we're living in the day of the possibilities being come to fruition. We're living in the day where our bodies are nourished because our bones are strengthened. We're living in the day, Father God, where you continue to pour in and pour out. Lord, as we seek your kingdom, lavish upon us all that we need. We ask in your name, Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.